The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander in San Francisco for the week. Kelly Bidlin in Las Vegas, of course. Do you say in Las Vegas? Do you say at Las Vegas? It sounds weird if you say in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We don't say that with football games, though, right?
Yeah, right. You're right.
Yeah.
Well, let's not confuse ourselves already. We're 10 seconds into the show, okay? Am I at Circa or am I in Circa?
I don't know. Maybe we should ponder that for 3 hours.
Or am I in the VSiN studios at Circa? I could go about on the with this for hours.
So it's a little better than our pre-show conversation moments ago where Kelly told me that he and Dustin debated the best cheese last week, which is fascinating as well.
Yeah, I don't know how much of that was on air or off air, but yeah, it was a debate. Yep.
Yeah, it was fun. It is Thursday. You know what that means. Zach and Crack, Zach Cohen joins us to discuss any remaining tennis plays he has. He's got some thoughts on that. And of course, also NBA. Going to look ahead to the U.S. Open. Also, speaking of tennis, going to look ahead to the U.S. Open, but NBA thoughts as well. I don't know, maybe an NFL thought or two from Zach. And the other part of the comedy duo of Zach and Crack, Bill Krakenberger, Unscripted. Just because I'm in San Francisco doesn't mean he's not going to spend time in the studio with Kelly. So he will join us a little later, whatever on his mind. We continue our NFC division by division previews. We go to the glorious NFC South today, Kelly. That was fun.
Yeah.
Dive deep into that division. Oh, boy.
You know what? I've got more thoughts and more things to say about it, Gil, than after diving back in more yesterday than I really thought I was going to. So mainly about like one team.
I have a lot of question marks, which shouldn't be a surprise to anybody.
Yeah.
A whole bunch. And it all starts with quarterbacks. Jeff Erickson. We have Nick Whalen on every week, co-host of Prop Points. And we lost touch with our buddy Jeff Erickson. So Jeff Erickson's going to be on today. He's got some MLB for the day. It's a really small day. Only 5 games in Major League Baseball. We'll also talk some NFL with Jeff as well. I was looking forward to getting together with him. And then, our producer, Danny Higgins, came to, just on his own, sort of put together a nice little MLB trade deadline package for us, which we should dive into. The Major League Baseball trade deadline now 11 days away. And this is not a prisoner of the moment comment, because I realize this kind of happens in some form every year and has for a long time. But I don't remember a year where this many teams, 11 days out, you cannot determine if they're going to be buyers or sellers yet. Like, it's just they're too close to a playoff position to know the answer to it right now. But we'll dive into the biggest names, who might be a buyer, who might be a seller. We'll do all that. First, let's talk about tennis, and you've got some golf to talk about. Tennis, another 5 plays. I don't plan on it being 5 plays, but we've had 5 plays, I think, 3 days in a row now on the show. One was in the books before the show started. Yannick Hanfmann takes down Sebastian Baez. Yannick Hanfmann, Kelly, is the German pronunciation of that, I would imagine. Minus 135 favorite. He beats Baez in straight sets. Currently being played. Tomas Martin Echeverry up a set on Ignacio Buse. The Peruvian, don't really say that every day, the Peruvian tennis star, Ignacio Buse. So we're up a set there. We're on serve late in the second. Hopefully can get that plus 113 play on Tomas Martin Echeverry home. My Hontama is the big dog of the day. She is down a set and down a break. So that one may not go our way. Sorry about that one, Kelly. Plus 218 might not happen.
Get it together.
And then Panna Udvardi. Yes, we are fading Paula Badosa again. And because it's just what she has been doing to us has just been wrong. If she's losing, she walks off the court. If she wins, she does it by staving off a million break points. Well, I'm on Udvardi. Udvardi is a plus 153 dog. Udvardi is already up a break here early in the first set. What could possibly go wrong? The one that has not started yet is our guy Alex Molcan. Alex Molcan's plus 155 versus Alexander Bublik. So that's the one, if you're interested in playing along with us here this morning. That's the one that has not started yet. Molcan is a clay court guy. His clay court numbers are super awesome. The deal with Bublik, for those who are unfamiliar with the great Sasha Bublik, is he is a spectacular player. He's a top 20 tennis player, but he loves hard courts, loves grass, has famously just criticized clay as a stupid surface. It's so great. He's like, this is dumb. But his clay game has really improved. And so it's one of these handicaps where it's like, well, let's just hope Bublik doesn't care today kind of thing. Mm. And that it's a coasty kind of thing. Because if he decides he wants to play tennis, this could get a little dodgy. But that's the play. Mokan with his very raw, good clay court numbers to play at plus 155. So a good start with a 1-0. Looks like we're going to drop the big dog, but all the others are looking okay right now. You have some golf. 3M Open is underway.
Yeah, I do. I added a couple first-round leaders. Is this three matches in a row that you've bet on Mokan? Or am I just making that up? Feels like you are correct. Right?
Yes. I don't know if it's three in a row, but it's certainly like 3 in 4 days or something like that. I'd have to look.
Maybe we skipped one. Yeah, I feel like I've seen his name a few times. So yeah, let's keep it rolling.
Just to give context, I don't know if people care, but it's like, so usually it's hard court season that wraps around the beginning and end of a year, beginning and end being the same thing. But then after hard courts, after the Australian Open, it goes to clay until the French Open. Then it's a really short grass season, which I have the least data, obviously, on, as everybody does, which ends in Wimbledon. It's literally 5 weeks. And now we have this weird, before we get fully back into hard courts, which will crescendo to the U.S. Open, it's this really weird stray clay and dash of hard court. There's only one hard court tournament this week. There was only one last. Most of them are still clay, but the data is robust. And that explains, I think, a lot as to why we're doing kind of well here interim.
Why does it work that way, Gil? I mean, is it just this time of year, like tournaments go to the highest bidder? Like it just feels weird to make these guys or to not have them play at least one chunk on one surface, one chunk of the season on the next, and then move on to the next, right? Like it feels a little weird to go clay, hard, clay, grass, back to clay, then we're going to go over to the hard.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know this for a fact, but this feels like these clay tournaments feel like the part of the tennis calendar where it's like, okay, we don't have, we're not yet in DC, we're not yet in Cincinnati, mm-hmm. we're not yet in Montreal and Toronto. It's let's get to some countries that have not been represented as well with tennis tournaments, and oh, they happen to have clay. That kind of feels that way.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's accurate, but that's how it feels.
That's cool. That's cool and all, but like American football, let's bring more tennis to America. You know, let's just jam it in. Once Wimbledon gets over, let's just bring it all stateside and lead up to the U.S. Open. Then we can actually have great tournaments and great time windows for me.
Well, that's all that matters. Wait a week, Kelly, and you'll be. Your dreams will come true.
What did we start with? Cincinnati? Cincinnati, is that where it starts?
DC.
Okay. And then we go to like Canada, right? And then it's Cincinnati, something like that.
That's correct. Men either in Toronto or Montreal, women either in the other spot, and then it comes to Cincinnati before the U.S. Open.
All right, first round leaders at the 3M Open. I added early this morning, Keith Mitchell, 50-1. I believe he's out there, and I don't think he's doing great right now. He's even par through five. Okay, I guess that's not completely dead. Max Homa, 2 over through 6. He found water early on a course with a lot of water. So 2 over through 7, not looking great. Ben Coles has not teed off yet. You can probably get a little better number than I did. Vince Whaley is currently your leader at the 3M Open, 5 under through 9. Lee Hodges and Kevin Roy, 3 under, respectively. And then Scottie Scheffler, 1 under through 6. Just updating the big name that's we'll be tracking all morning. So, Scottie, hang around in that top 10 area, but not near the top of the leaderboard. Struggling with the putter from what I've seen early. Just a reminder of what I have for the tournament. Outrights on Tom Kim, Max Homa, Johnny Kiefer, Ben Coles. Top 10s on all those guys, and then a top 20 play on Mr. Homa as well. So, Max, get it together.
All right, and then the big news around here yesterday, Kelly, the game was postponed on Tuesday, so the Sox had themselves a day-night doubleheader with the Orioles yesterday after winning the first game in that series on Tuesday, a three-game set. We said yesterday, as long as they can get a split here, they're in great position. That's exactly what they did. They win their 15th game in the row in the morning, 6-3. And that matched the Red Sox all-time longest winning streak at 15 games. They do lose the nightcap, but we did what we had to do, kind of story for our bet. So right now, the Red Sox are 15-2 on the month of July. They have a 3-win lead, if you will, over the 12-7 Brewers. You see the O's and the Tigers there at 11-5. There's really no need to show any other team, Kelly, because that's already 4 wins down. So the Sox have 8 games left. 3 at home this weekend. They're idle today. 3 at home this weekend against the Blue Jays. Then it's 4 at the Athletics in Sactown, Bay Area and Backtown. Sacramento, the site of many a high-scoring baseball game, but also the site of the worst team in the month of July, the Athletics. So again, the schedule continues to be good before they play a final game against the Dodgers to close out the month. So all you don't even have to look at the scoreboard, the leaderboard if you don't want to. The Red Sox just focus on their games in front of them. If we go 5-3, we win the month. If we go 5-3, we being the Red Sox, Kelly, of course, we're on the team now.
Right, yeah.
If we go 5-3 over that softy schedule, Red Sox guaranteed the win in the month of July and our 80-1 cashes. Now, 5-3 assumes that the Brewers go undefeated, right, the rest of the way. More likely, the Red Sox are going to only have to go 4-4 or even 3-5. So this is set up beautifully. Let's just get it home. Let's not count it before it's done.
Absolutely, man. You're in a good spot. Let's go. Let's finish it off, Red Sox here. A few more wins. Lock this baby up. Longest winning streak in the majors since when, Gil Alexander?
Oh, I don't know. What's the answer to that?
The Cardinals in 2021 won 15 straight.
I would not have been able to answer that. That's interesting. Okay. MLB trade line. Let's talk that next. Who might be buyers? Who might be sellers? Do we even know? You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Not sure if you caught this last night, but the Circa Survivor documentary is back. Again, thanks to James Ferris, Stephen Shalansky for being on the show yesterday, the creators of it. It's bigger than ever, the documentary, that is, with $18.7 million on the line and a new Grandissimo format raising the stakes. The contest itself bigger than ever last year and still to come, bigger even this year. If you missed episode 1 that chronicles last year's contests, catch it now on YouTube. Just search VSiN Live. Episode 2 will air this coming Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Every agonizing moment of opening weekend, plus the early winners, losers, and storylines shaping the season. Whether you play Circus Survivor or just love the drama, you won't want to miss it every Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern on VSiN, or catch up anytime on YouTube. Just search VSiN Live. Kelly, did you get a chance to see episode 1 last night?
I sure did. Watched the whole thing. Pumped for the season. Well, yeah, I mean, it's a great way to get you excited to play these contests, that's for sure. Seeing all the characters, some new, some old. Great to see them all. Everybody kind of getting set up and talking their way, how they handle Survivor, what they're going to be doing this upcoming season or last season. Good stuff, man. It was good stuff. I made it in the first episode. I didn't get a speaking role, but I did make it in there. Little Easter egg. Easter egg for the first one.
Can you
spot Kelly Bidlin?
Can you spot Kelly Bidlin?
It's like Where's Waldo, but tougher.
Interesting. Now I'm going to have to go back and rewatch and see. Did you do a little nodding, your thing?
No. I didn't even make that much camera time, Gil. I'm pretty sure it was some night we were eating at Barry's, and I remember going there with James and Matt because they had to. It's when they're shooting stuff at Barry's, and I'm just in the back eating and drinking. That's all it is.
Well done. Well done. Do you get your SAG card for that?
I don't know. Might. That's a good question. You're right. I should invoice those guys.
All right, so here's the diliosis on this. The MLB trade deadline is in 11 days, August 3rd. To be precise, it's August 3rd at 6 p.m. Eastern, Kelly. So for those who love taking in like the MLB Network, that's the one day of the year where I'm locked into the MLB Network. They do a great job on trade deadline day. The biggest let's start with the individual players. Obviously, the biggest prize potentially, and I stress the word potentially in all of these, is Tarek Skubal, the back-to-back Cy Young winner in the American League. But here's the deal. The Tigers are still locked in to a situation where they think not only can they win a wild card position, they still think they can win their division. And by the way, they might not be wrong about that. They have the second best run differential behind the White Sox in the AL Central. They are 6.5 out of the division. They are 4.5 out, I believe it is, of a wild card position. And you're 4.5 out and 6.5 out, and there's still 11 days till the trade deadline. So if you chop that down, Kelly, just a little more, let's say 4.5 and 6.5 becomes 2.5 and 4.5, you ain't getting rid of Tarek Skubal at that point, right? Because you have designs on bigger things. So we just don't know. We just don't know with Tarek Skubal. The same can apply to a guy like Mason Miller. Now, the number of teams that covet Mason Miller to be there at the back of their bullpen, the number of teams that are headed to the postseason is probably every single one of them.
Oh, I mean, when's the last time we've had this good of a closer on the market or like we think is available?
This dude may end up playing for a million teams by the end of his career if this keeps going, right? But what's the story with the Padres, right? The Padres aren't winning their division, but the Padres are three games out of the final wild card position in the National League. 11 days prior to the trade deadline, 6 p.m. Eastern on August 3rd. So even the Padres, who are going through a whole ownership thing, are they going to sell the team? Is the paperwork going to go through by the time the deadline? I mean, they've got transitional stuff happening at the top. But even there, like, you know, we can still make the playoffs. Why would we do that? So again, Roxy Roxborough used to come on the show and he used to talk about this. He'd be like, oh, you're not going to know what to do, buy or sell to the last 2 weeks. And he pointed out then, and he was right, and never more true than this year, Kelly, where it's like, forget 2 weeks. You won't know till the last series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, AJ Hinch, right, saying last week or whatever, it's like every game's a game seven for them going forward with the Tigers because of Skubal, because you got to win if you want to keep them.
Mets, different story, though. Freddie Peralta, he's available. Clay Holmes, he's available. Luke Weaver, he's available. Obviously, Peralta, the starter that they expected so much more from. Holmes and Weaver out of the bullpen. Some other guys. Luis Arraez of the Giants. I mean, professional hitter. The Giants aren't going anywhere. The Giants should be cleaning house. But Arraez is the guy that fits seamlessly into any offense as a contact guy. I don't know. Byron Buxton has been thrown around by the Twins. But, I mean, the Twins are in the thick of it still. Also, so I'm not sure they're doing anything there, but buyers. And by the way, shout out to our own Danny Higgins again for putting this together. He got really into this yesterday. Huh?
I told him to. I tell you, he was into it. I was like, yeah, give us the Danny top trade deadline candidates for both players and then kind of teams that we're gonna see going after, guys.
Yeah, I mean, Dodgers looking for a frontline starter, bullpen depth. Yankees, it's so funny because, you know, another reliever. What the Yankees really need is a catcher, for God's sakes. Mm. I know it's strange to, like, add a catcher in the middle of the season, but that's what they need. They get no production out of that position. And the Red Sox now are total buyers, right, it would seem. The Red Sox, forget about being outside of the playoffs looking in. They are inside looking out. They would be the third wild card right now after this 15-game winning streak. Phillies looking for the bullpen help. Who isn't? Cubs, they need some starting pitching in addition to bullpen help. Who are the absolute sellers? The Mets, as we just discussed, the Giants, as we just discussed. But again, if you look at the Major League Baseball standings, Kelly, and you just go just based on that alone, right? Let's talk about the number of teams that are, you know, close to the third wild card position, the final playoff spot in each league. Pardon me. Seattle is two out of a wild card position, right? Texas right now, a half game lead over Seattle in the West. So Seattle for this moment in time, two games out of the third wild card position. Baltimore, three games out. Minnesota, three games out. The Astros, 3.5 games out. And as we just discussed, the Tigers, 4.5 out. Who does that leave? That only leaves four teams in the entire American League. Toronto, sorry, Toronto, didn't mean to pair you with these other three teams. The Athletics, Kansas City, and the Angels. Athletics, Kansas City, and the Angels, they're toast. Who knows? Even Toronto might think that they have a shot here, Kelly. We just don't know what these teams are going to do. By the way, same sort of situation in the National League. Cardinals, a half game out of the third wild card. Pittsburgh, a half game out of the third wild card, which, by the way, is inhabited by the Arizona Diamondbacks as of this morning. Miami, 1.5 out. Washington, 1.5 out. We just mentioned San Diego, 3 out. Maybe even the Reds at 5.5 out think that they have a shot. So that leaves only the Mets, San Francisco, and Colorado. So you have 15 team leagues, and 80% of those teams are still thinking this is our year.
Mm-hmm. What's your gut feel on Skubal? Like, you think he's gone? You think he's staying?
No, I think he's staying.
You think he's staying?
I think he's staying.
Okay. Well, I mean, just doesn't get to a point where there's, God, I mean, he's so good, right? Like, the overwhelming offers from one of these super rich teams that needs the help, right? I don't know how Detroit turns that down, but I get it. Like, they're still in this. 4.5 out.
Yeah. Well, you asked me this again this morning, and my answer is, oh, no, he's not going anywhere. And the reason I'm saying he's not going anywhere is because, by the way, when we're locked into these monthly bets, we get to see how these teams do on a monthly basis. So as bad as the Tigers were early in the season, you look at their June record, they were great. Their July record, they're great. Like, they have had two solid months now, almost total, of really good baseball. Now, a week from now, if I was in this chair and you and I were on air, and let's say the Tigers had lost 5 in a row, I'd be like, oh, he's gone.
Yeah.
That's how quickly this can change.
Right.
No, for totally. Him, for totally. Mason Miller, for all these guys.
Very little volume in this market, so I will preface it with that. But Tarek Skubal's next team is up at Kalshi. The Dodgers are your favorite at +252.
Well, of course they are. You know, that's the thing. It's like, of course they are. There's no limit to what they're willing to pay in a luxury tax. There's no limit to what they will do to win the World Series. You know, Yankees fans used to be, right, along with the Dodgers, even before the Dodgers, they were the franchise where, you know, George Steinbrenner, the boss, would have done anything at any time to do this to improve the team, right? Usually in the offseason, maybe not necessarily midseason, but he was the guy that would do anything. And as Yankees fans like Chris Felica and Will Hill will tell you, it ain't the same under the kid. Hal Steinbrenner ain't George Steinbrenner. So, like, the Yankees are willing to do some stuff, but to a limit. It doesn't, they don't, they're not in that Dodgers category of who's available. We'll get them.
Right.
We'll take them now.
Yeah.
Yep. So, I don't know. That's why all these baseball questions is like, it's cool to look at this. Does this lead to any, you know, the point for us as bettors, does this lead to bets? And so, right now, on the one hand, maybe the uncertainty takes you off making a bet. On the other hand, it's that very uncertainty that allows you to make bets, like we did with the Red Sox in July, right? Mm-hmm. You need that uncertainty. If everything was certain, you know, you wouldn't have good numbers. So the American League, I think, is where you take shots. And as I said with the Red Sox yesterday, I think you take shots at, like, pennants, right? Will had a great idea yesterday. How about some exactas or matchups in the ALCS? I think you take flyers on long shots there. Coming back with Zach Cohen on...
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
20 leagues, one mission. Just Win Bets Baby is your premier source for daily sports betting picks. They break down the data so you can bet with confidence across the entire sports calendar. Scan the QR code or visit justwinbetsbaby.com today and start betting smarter with Just Win Bets Baby. The name says it all. Picks are bilingual, Kelly, English and Spanish. How about that?
Yeah.
And you were on that show once upon a time. So was Danny Higgins.
So was our upcoming guest, I believe.
Oh,
I think actually might be lying.
Let's hold the drama before we introduce that guest. Let's read some tweets because we haven't done so yet this morning. First of all, can I give a shout out to Tim Lawson? Tim Lawson, who is the host of the Better Life podcast, both 1.0 and 2.0 versions. He is also the Megapod historian. And so during the Megapod season, the Beating the Book Megapod, where Todd, Will, and I get together with a rotating guest every week, he goes back in history, finds out how many times that particular guest has been on. He does all kinds of deep dive on what they picked at that time, what they said, that sort of thing. But he's also now posting old Beating the Book Chrissy Andrews story times, pardon me, on Twitter.
Oh, wow.
On the Better Life, or at the Better Life. So yesterday he posted an old Crying Kenny story as originally told on the podcast, or an original story time. Today, the story time from 11 years ago that he posted is the How Many Is Nil story. For those who are, for those who know, you know.
Chris,
wildly Chrissy, entertaining.
Chrissy with a new book out, right?
Chrissy with a new book. Is this Chrissy? Yeah, he texted me the other day. He's like, come by. I'm like, oh, I'm not in Las Vegas to pick up a copy. Is this the one? This is the Life one, right?
Yes.
So
I believe so.
There was Then One Day. Then was Then One Year. This is Then One Life. So this is, I can't wait to read this one.
I don't.
He's a bit of an author, right?
Yeah, he really is. I believe he's selling it privately, though. Just go to his Twitter page. I know he's been
go to his Twitter.
Yeah, he's been tweeting about it.
Go to Chrissy's Twitter at Andrews Sports. Andrews Sports to find his new offering. By the way, he wrote a novel too. Like, it's not just nonfiction. He wrote a novel, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
Buddhist man Kelly is in the VSiN Live studio next to the Mega Bar, overlooking Circa Sports at Circa Las Vegas on Fremont Street, within walking distance of Bar Canada, adjacent to a supply closet full of production staff upstairs inside.
That was extremely well done. Extremely
well done.
Well done, Buddhist. Good job, Buddhist.
Thank
man.
You.
You've been slacking a lot recently. I just made up for it.
What are those? Our preposition game is bad, is what we were saying, I guess?
Yeah, I guess.
The preposition game, Kelly. Mm-hmm. No Emu Doug. If we all agree to say that LeBron is better than Mike in unison and acknowledge that Bronny is an NBA star in waiting, do you suppose he will retire for us? Fingers crossed, because he's not, but we can record it for his driveway music like Nance does the Masters. Yeah. Jim Nance, famously, and one of the great details ever shared by Michael Lombardi, Jim Nance plays the Masters music in his driveway where he lives over there at Pebble Beach.
That's awesome.
Drive into his driveway, you hear the Masters music, that calming music. Hello, friends. This is from Mako, Shades of Mako. Diving back into contests, looks like no twists at Circa. Is that accurate? No new twists, correct. No new twists. It's still Thanksgiving and Christmas, right, Kelly? No new twists on any of the contests.
As far as I'm Las aware. Vegas,
as far as I'm aware. Las Vegas 514, yo, which planet did you land on riding that Circa Survivor rocket you were riding in? Who was the astronaut that floated by? Needed to add facial scruff to your animation character. Loved the first episode. Not sure what any of that means. Okay.
No idea.
All right. No idea. Aya Oya S69, as a Tigers fan, I would love to see Scooble not be traded. The big caveat is the Tigers better sign him long-term and not be cheap. All Tigers fans do not want to see another Ohtani where the Angels got nothing in return. And there you go. There you go. And by the way, Brosek says, can you take your phone off the desk? He can hear it vibrating. Mm-hmm. Yes, I will do it. Sorry about that. Sorry. My bad.
Yeah, Scooble's got some Giannis vibes going on right now. You know, like it feels like the whole fan base wants him to stay, but you got to sign a long term. Are you willing to do that?
Zach Cohen joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He's the glue or part of the glue that holds this whole operation together. You can follow him on Twitter at BettingOnX. Zach, good morning, sir.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Doing very well. Do you care about LeBron at this point? Do you have any interest in the subject? Or even if you do or don't, do you have any inkling where he ends up?
I do care. And I think it's just because we're talking about him potentially playing for like $5 million or less or whatever the veteran's minimum is. Like, if LeBron was playing on a max contract and going somewhere, I wouldn't care that much. But for him to be paid like, you know, a bottom of the bench player, and to be a fourth or fifth best player on one of these teams, it matters whether you want it to or not. Like, if he goes to the Cavaliers or the Warriors, whatever he does, he's going to make one of these teams way better. So yeah, I am sitting on this news and waiting for it because I do think it drastically impacts the way that we're looking at the league next season.
You are the host of Hardwood Handicappers. You still do it in the off season, Zach? Yes.
Yeah, we're doing it like once a week. I don't know if we're going to do it this week. We're kind of waiting to do like an emergency LeBron episode. So that's maybe the most annoying part about it is that we've been sitting on this waiting to do one and we just have no idea when we're going to do it. But yeah, we are doing it throughout the offseason.
Scan the QR code on your screen if you want to subscribe to Hardwood Handicappers. Then rate and review. And sometimes Kelly shows up for one of those and JVT.
That's right. Sometimes.
When Zach invites them. All right. Season win totals are out for the NBA. Zach, you have several of these you'd like to share. Let's start with the Celtics. Where'd you go there? 50.5.
Yeah, so I went over 50.5 with this team. I just think that there's been a little bit too much made of how bad the Jaylen Brown trade was. It was a bad trade for them. I've talked about this on the podcast. I probably talked about it with you guys a little bit, but I think if you just compare this year's team to the team that we saw at the start of last season, it's a better team today than they were to start last season. I think that, you know, Jason Tatum's going to be healthy after having a full offseason to recover. He was healthy towards the end of last season. And I do think that Paul George has quite a bit left in the tank. So I just kind of look at this team and I think that the talent is a little bit too good for us to rule out another 55 to 60 win season. And I kind of think that there was an opportunity to like buy the dip on this team after the Jaylen Brown news, because I still think this team is a title contender. If you look at what they've done outside of just the, you know, the Brown for George swap, they did upgrade the center position, which was a huge problem for them in the postseason last year. And I do think this is a team that takes the regular season very seriously. And I also think that their style of play we've seen now for years just translates very well to winning basketball in the regular season. So I think the Celtics win 51 games pretty easily. I would even be looking to alternate that up to like 55.
Wow. Okay. Let's stay in the Eastern Conference. Oh, I noticed these are all overs. This is a very bullish Zach Cohen segment here. Let's talk about a couple other playoff contenders in the East. You also like overs on both the Cavs at 48.5 and the Pacers at 43.5.
Yeah, with the Cavaliers, like some of this is an anticipation of LeBron, but even if he doesn't go there, this is a team that won 50 plus games last season. And I do think that they're going to be very good again. I think that, you know, we've seen time and time again that maybe James Harden isn't the greatest playoff performer in the world, but still just a great regular season player. You could say the same about Donovan Mitchell. I like the big man duo that they have in Mobley and Allen, at least for the regular season, even if I think it needs to be much better in the postseason. But I don't see why this team is dropping off so much. I think that maybe there's a little bit too much of a bad taste in our mouths because of all the Kenny Atkinson quotes after the Knicks series, because of some of those blown leads. But this team is still really good. I see them being in the, like, you know, borderline top four team in the East.
I see Kenny Atkins is still at Madison Square Garden waiting for the game, for the next game to start. Best of 51. And Pacers over 43.5. You are all about the return of Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah, I think that Halliburton looks really good. He seems really healthy. And if you like look at the team compared to the one that went to the NBA Finals and had a really good chance of winning that game, the roster is pretty much the same, except that they swapped out Miles Turner for Ivica Zubac. So you go from a liability defensively and somebody that's really one-dimensional offensively to a top five center in the league and somebody that gives you a different look that you didn't have in the past. Like, this team is going to be able to move the ball around, play their same kind of purposeful offense that we've seen from them all throughout the Rick Carlisle era. But they're also now going to have a little bit of toughness in the paint that's going to make them better on both ends of the floor. So I think it's going to be really interesting to watch them early in the season, because this is a team that we know likes to play very, very fast, but they might look to slow things down a little bit with Halliburton coming back from an injury, having Zubac as that post player. So maybe early in the year, we're talking about like an under team that we think is going to be an over team in terms of game totals. But I do think they're going to be a team that wins at least 45 games. And if Halliburton is truly healthy, they could easily win 50 plus.
Yeah, I love this one, Zach. This is one I'll probably be in on as well. Haven't bet it yet, but I think that makes a lot of sense. And multiple of these teams that we're going to be talking about this offseason, right, where it's a completely different looking team, also add on completely different intentions, aspirations for what they're going to be doing this season and playing for and not tanking.
Who, Zach?
Yeah, absolutely.
I know you don't have a bet necessarily on this, but what's the Eastern Conference playoff contender that you're not as high on as the market suggests?
I mean, the Pistons number has come down to 50.5, which makes a lot of sense, but I honestly can see us talking about them as a 46, 47 win team. I just feel like they did nothing to address their problems in the offseason. I think that they did, you know, they tried to draft somebody to address that their, you know, shot making, you know, weakness, but it's just the same team as last year, but worse.
Yeah. And Jalen Duren's like not fully settled yet. It's weird.
Yeah,
true. More with Zach on the other side. He's got one more season win total out west, a coach of the year bet in the NBA, and some thoughts on the U.S. Open coming up in tennis next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NFL preseason is only a couple weeks away, and the smart money's already moving lines. Lock in our football special for just $175 before the price goes up next month. You'll get instant access to the VSiN NFL betting guide to help you attack futures, win totals, and player props. Plus, We're including the new Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide with over 425 player profiles, projections, and rankings to help you prep for your fantasy draft. Sign up now and you get full VSiN Pro access across every sport through the Super Bowl. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander in San Francisco. Kelly Bitlin back in Las Vegas. We get tweets beating the book. Will he be Benton? Gil, your viewing audience needs to know that if that Udvardy-Bedosa match is a they may want to watch this match kind of match. Yes, it absolutely is. I should have said that. I go, you may want to watch this match. I usually say that. But yes, it absolutely is. Also, please let Todd Wishnev know that the Hogan's Heroes theme doesn't tickle my fancy, but Green Acres and Oklahoma themes, unbridled enthusiasm. Yeah, Todd brought up Hogan's Heroes yesterday. Green Acres, come on, jam. Absolute jam. Primetime Leon Sanders. Yo, hey, man. For some reason, whenever I hear Fezzik's catchphrase of what's this, I hear your mom's voice asking, wait, what's this? Congrats again on your Red Sox cash this month. No chance it can lose. Peace and love. Why are people doing this? Why is it, the jinx is on. Scotty, Leisure Suit Kobe, FYI, Gil, I caught that reference. Nicely done. Thank you. I'm glad you did.
Hey, I did too. You use it regularly.
I do. I do Bay Area and back down a lot. Yeah. Super Jerk, not happy that we dared to talk about LeBron James for 90 seconds. I'll just leave it at that. and Las Vegas 514. Yo, you were an animated character riding in a rocket ship in episode one. Did I watch the correct episode of Circa Millions Quest for 18.7 million? I sure hope so. Sheesh. Yeah, I don't know.
I was kind of having the same thought, but okay. Yeah.
I'm not sure what that was about. Zach Cohen is kind enough to join us here for segment number two. Zach, before we get to the U.S. Open in tennis, a couple more basketball things. You did have, so we have the over on the Pacers, the over on the Celtics, and the over on the Cavaliers, their season win totals in the Eastern Conference. We have one over on a Western Conference team, and it seems to be a very popular one.
Yeah, I have the Jazz over 34.5. I've heard you guys talk about this potentially going up to like 38.5, 39.5 by the time the season starts, and that wouldn't surprise me at all. So it's an over for me still at 35.5, and I would still play this at 36.5. I don't know. It feels like one where we all have it, so what could go wrong?
Right.
But I do think that this team is just going to be really, really good in the regular season, at least compared to last year. I do think that the Walker Kessler move took some wind out of the sails. Like, this is a team that I was thinking about potentially taking to make the postseason, and I thought they'd actually be a factor in the postseason with Kessler. Now I just look at them as a decent team, but I still think that they're going to go over this total. I feel like to have the ability to play five out the way that they're going to, it's going to be really tough to cover. I think that Will Hardy is one of the best NBA coaches in the league and is just now going to get an opportunity to prove it. And I think that playing in Salt Lake City is very difficult and has presented a lot of challenges for teams in the past. So now that this team is going to be trying to win, I think we're going to see just a complete, you know, flip of the switch here.
Yeah, Gil, I'll tell you, man, it is Zach's right. I'm getting those vibes of too many of us loving it. And you know, it's a little scary, Zach. I updated all these win total numbers this morning. There's been a lot of movement on this board, and the Jazz aren't one of the ones so far. They've got up like one win. Like, the Grizzlies went up like six wins. Like, some of these teams have moved a lot. The Mavericks opened at 40.5 or down to 35.5 at DraftKings. It's been a lot of movement. Jazz not necessarily one of them. So, yeah. I hope so.
Jazz, it's a little terrifying when we all have it.
Jazz 35.5 right now, as we're showing on the screen. You mentioned Will Hardy. This came up last week because we all know all the 32 coaches in the NFL, and Will and I specifically, we've had this discussion about baseball where when we were kids, we could name every baseball manager. And now, even when this is our business, like, I don't know if I can name all 30 Major League Baseball managers. It's starting to feel that way in the NBA with head coaches, with some of these lesser teams where you're like, wait, who's the coach of the Wizards? Who's the coach of the Jets? You know, this kind of thing is sort of creeping in. But you do have a coach of the year bet, and we're all familiar with this coach. I'm surprised at this.
Yeah, I added Ime Udoka at 25-1 yesterday. I mean, part of this does go back to the fact that I do think the Rockets are being slept on heading into the season. I have a ticket on the Rockets to win the NBA title at 60-1 already. But I do think that the narrative last year towards the end of the season was that Udoka did a really poor job with that Houston team. But I just kind of think that a lot of people forgot there were a lot of injuries that that team dealt with. Fred VanVleet was out for the entire season. Steven Adams missed most of the year. Both those guys are supposed to be back for day one this season. And I do think they're going to be a really tough team to play against this year. And you kind of add in the fact that they brought in one of Udoka's guys in Marcus Smart on a cheap deal. Smart played really well for the Lakers last year. This is just a team that is crazy deep. They're long. They're tough. I feel like we're just letting kind of last year's bad news and narratives kind of shape the way we're thinking about this team this season. But if you looked at what we thought about them heading into last year, we all thought that was going to be a team that pushed for a Western Conference championship appearance. And I think that it's very possible that they end up there again. I kind of think that they are the best of the tier two teams in the West.
All right, let's transition to tennis here. You don't have any more tennis. For those wondering, hey, does Zach have any tennis plays left today? You do not. You shared before the segment. But you do have some thoughts on the U.S. Open. We still have one more slam to come. The U.S. Open starts at the end of August. And as tennis so beautifully does, has the decency to have the final, the men's final, the very first Sunday of the National Football League season. It's just a beautiful thing how tennis just perfectly fits around our love of the National Football League. Let's start with the men's side. We assume Carlitos is playing, but Jannik Sinner is the favorite at minus 165. Then it's Carlos at plus 175. Everybody's starting with Zverev and Djokovic. Zverev and Djokovic, 11-1 and 12-1 beyond that. And it's sort of the usual suspects. How do you view this?
Yeah, so it's really boring, but on the men's side, I still think that there's value to be had on Jannik Sinner. There's a minus 140 out there right now, and I just feel like whether that is Carlos playing and not being 100% or Carlos not playing at all, I think Sinner is the best player on the planet, and I do think that he's going to end up winning the U.S. Open. I feel like he answered a lot of questions at Wimbledon. We kind of looked at that run, and we thought it was unimpressive, which it was. I don't think he played really well until the semifinals against Djokovic, and then the final against Zverev was closer than it's been between the two of them, which credit to Zverev, by the way. But I do think that the question that Sinner answered was, can he handle the heat and can he handle five set matches? Because he was not able to do it at Roland Garros, but he was able to do it in London. So I do think that he did, you know, some good work on his fitness. I have less doubts about him being able to kind of handle the heat and humidity in New York for the U.S. Open. So I do think this is going to be another title that he wins.
Yeah, and I'm just sort of thinking, I'm like, okay, who won? Okay, Carlos won the Australian. It seems like forever ago. Carlos won the Australian. Sasha Zverev famously winning the French, his slam. Jannik winning Wimbledon. So I don't know if we're going to have four different winners, but Jannik trying to win the back half of the slams.
What is the, guys, what is the Alcaraz, like, timeline here? Are we not going to see it? U.S. Open still in question, one, and then two is, are we not going to see him before that for sure?
Got to have a tune-up,
I think,
right,
if U.S.
Zach?
Open, if U.S. Open's in question, and I don't know, if he doesn't play the U.S. Open, like, at that point, I kind of wonder if you just sit him out until the Australian Open, because dealing with a wrist injury, these have ended careers, like, really, really fast, and I think you just have to be 100% certain that he is fine before sending him out to the court. I know a lot of people might be thinking, like, there was no known tears or anything, and it didn't look like we saw any injuries, but it's just a really tricky injury for him.
Yeah, and I think ideally he plays at least one tune-up, Kelly, like in Cincinnati, right? But I think Zach is correct. If he doesn't play the U.S. Open, there's no need to, like, try to play the ATP finals. No one cares, you know? Okay, the women's side, much more interesting. I mean, throw them all up in the air. Who do you got here?
Yeah, this is why I wanted to talk to you about this, to be honest. I just feel like we have a full year's worth of data right now. You kind of look at Tennis Abstract's ELO ratings, and it says that the top three players in the world this season have been Marta Kostyuk, Linda Noskova, and Karolina Muchova. Those players are further down on the list, so I'm going to take some darts and flyers on those players. I know that it's probably unlikely that we'll see Noskova win again, but she is number two in ELO rating. I think that if she's serving the way that she did at Wimbledon, like, no one can beat her. So I thought that was a really impressive showing from her. But yeah, I think that there's just a little bit value a little bit further down the board. And I don't think I'd be jumping on any of the favorites here.
Yeah, we didn't really talk about this because I was off. But Noskova's steely win in the finals against Muhova. We had the over, so we ended up winning that bet because Muhova had this great comeback in the second set. But the fact that Noskova was able to just stand her ground at that point was such mental fortitude. I thought that was just incredible from her. We'll have plenty of time to talk about the U.S. Open, specifically on the women's side, between now and the end of August, because we'll form our thoughts a little more carefully as the data comes in. At least I will on that side. Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Zach Cohen, everybody. Always solid as ever. How about the NFC South? Can I interest you in that? Next on A Numbers Game.